Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today on this first Sunday in Lent. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, as we continue in this holy season of Lent, we do so with sorrow and fear, but also with awe and wonder. As we consider your suffering and death, lead us to see that our own sins are the cause of it all, and lead us then to genuine sorrow and repentance. Also, Lord, lead us to see your incredible love for us. Move us to marvel at your willing sacrifice, so that we may worship and praise you from our whole heart. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that you would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, you set us free.
Our responsive psalm for today is Psalm 130. We see that printed on page 3 in your bulletin. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We pray. Almighty God, by the coming of your Son into the world, you have rescued us from sin and death. Grant that with joyful hearts we may ever serve him whom you have made ruler over all things, to the praise of his glorious name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our reading through the Passion History, taken from the Gospels of the Passion History of Jesus Christ. Today we read part 2.
Then the detachment of troops and the captain and officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. They led him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus at a distance, and so did the other disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And the servants and the officers, who had made a fire of coals in the midst of the courtyard, stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself at the fire. And after they had sat down together, Peter sat down with the servants to see the end. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when they had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. But at last two false witnesses came forward and bore false witness against him, saying, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him, saying to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed." And Jesus said, "I am. It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then some began to spit in his face, and the men who held Jesus mocked him. They blindfolded him and struck him in the face and asked him, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one that struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. Now Peter was sitting outside, below in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl, one of the servant girls of the high priest, the one who kept the door, saw Jesus warming himself as he sat by the fire. She came to him and said, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." She said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." She looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But Peter denied it before them all, saying, "Woman, I do not know him. I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And after a little while, when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and began to say to those who stood by, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. This is one of them." Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" One saw him and said, "You also are of them." And again he denied it with an oath. He said, "Man, I am not. I do not know the man." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him. He is a Galilean." Those who stood by said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter therefore denied it again. He said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." He began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man. I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter called to mind the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when Peter thought about it, he went out and wept bitterly. Immediately in the morning, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together. They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They led Jesus into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we've heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Here ends our Passion History reading. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true.
You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, A Lamb Goes On.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God with us, dear fellow redeemed. Our Lenten series for this year focuses on the names of Jesus and how these names show his wondrous love for us in connection with God's plan of salvation. We began our series this past Wednesday on Ash Wednesday by looking at the name of Jesus. Today we come to the name Emmanuel. We begin our sermon text by reading first from the Gospel of Matthew, in which Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied some 700 years before Jesus was born, that this would be one of the names for Jesus. And Matthew then tells us what this name means. We read first from Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then we read then from John 18, verses 3 through 12, words from the Passion History of Jesus. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, Whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, Whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? And then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Emmanuel, God with us. What a perfect name for Jesus. When the fullness of time came, Christ, who was God from all eternity, became true man. He didn't give up his deity, didn't give up his Godhead, but added his humanity to his person. He became the God-man. One person, but with a divine nature and a human nature. True God and true man. Behind this great miracle was the divine plan of salvation. As God, Christ gave the law. As man, Jesus was subject to God's law. And as the God-man, his perfect keeping of the law now counts for you and for me. As God, he could not die. But as man, he could die. And as the God-man, he did die. And with his holy, precious blood, he made the full, sufficient payment for all of our sins on the cross. In our text for today, we see proof that Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. During his life here on earth, Jesus put aside or suppressed his divine powers as God, but occasionally he would show glimpses of his power and his glory as true God. And this night, outside the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, was one of those occasions. Malchus, the high priest's servant, certainly got a glimpse that night that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Our text tells us that while Jesus was being arrested, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck off the high priest's servant's ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. If you look in Luke's gospel of this account, you find that after Jesus rebuked Peter, Jesus touched Malchus's ear and healed him. What was going through Malchus's head and heart when this happened? He must have wondered, who is this Jesus anyway? Where does he get such power? His ear was cut off, and the next moment, Jesus is touching his ear and it is healed. The soldiers that night who came to arrest Jesus also got a glimpse that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. These soldiers came, we're told, armed with lanterns, torches, and weapons. No doubt they came expecting at least some resistance from Jesus and his followers. But instead of finding a rebel who's armed to the teeth, they find Jesus stepping forward willingly and asking, "Whom are you seeking?" I wonder what was going through their minds and hearts when he said to them, "I am he," and they drew back and fell to the ground. Who is this Jesus anyway? Where did he get such power? I often think about how they answered Jesus when he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" Did their answer come out a little bit more timidly the next time as they got up and dusted themselves off? Did they share some nervous glances with each other? Did they add a gulp to their next response of, "Jesus of Nazareth?" This was no ordinary man. It was very clear the one they were arresting, they weren't overpowering. They weren't taking him by force. He was, as Isaiah had prophesied, like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This was Emmanuel. This was the wondrous God-man who in love was silently, willingly led to the slaughter, willingly being arrested and coming with these soldiers. Did you catch the third proof from our text that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us? There's one brief phrase that could be easy to overlook in this text from the Gospel of John. It's from verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" Jesus, as true God, knew what was going to happen. He knew, as the text says, all things that would come upon him. He knew all the terrible suffering and torment, the hell, literally, that he would go through if he stepped forward and allowed himself to be arrested that night. And make no mistake about it, Jesus was the one who was in charge here. He was the one who was willingly allowing all this to happen. He knew what was going to happen if he did this. And he could have stopped it. As Matthew records in his gospel, Jesus reminded Peter after he rebuked him for cutting off the servant's ear. He says this, "Do you not think that I cannot pray now to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Not a great mathematician, but I think that number would be something like 72,000 angels. Imagine the force that they could exert over these soldiers who came to rescue or to arrest Jesus. Jesus did not get taken by force. He could have called down those angels to eradicate these soldiers, but he did not. Jesus explains very clearly earlier in John's gospel, "The reason my Father loves me is this, that I lay down my life not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus' willing love for us and for all sinners compelled him to step forward, to go forward, and to carry out this plan, his Father's plan, of salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. We've seen the proof of how this name fits Jesus perfectly. Now let's see what it means for us. Is there any promise for us in this wondrous name of love for Jesus? Definitely. He is Emmanuel, God with us, through the means of grace. He is still with us, and he comes to us through the power of his word, the Bible, and the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which draw their power from his life-giving word. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in our troubles. Jesus clearly knows what troubles are like. He suffered them himself. Is it grief caused by the loss of a loved one? He knows. He wept at the grave of his dear friend Lazarus. Is it temptation that never seems to leave us alone? He knows that too. He faced Satan's relentless attacks from the very beginning to the end of his earthly ministry. Is it loneliness brought on by friends who have been unfaithful or who have betrayed us? Jesus certainly knows that. One of his own disciples betrayed him. Peter denied him. His disciples all deserted him this evening after he was arrested. Not only does Jesus know our troubles, but he can do something about them. He is the God-man who can do anything. And as our loving God and Savior, we know that he can and he will do for our troubles only what is truly good for us. He is Emmanuel, God with us in our service to him. When our life feels like a bunch of series of two steps forward and three steps back on our walk of faith, Jesus knows. When it's our old sinful nature once again getting the upper hand in our battle, in our battle with our sinful flesh, Jesus knows. He's there. He's there with his word to encourage us, don't give up. Remember what I did for you on the cross. I already paid for your sins. I took away sin's guilt and its power over you by my suffering and death. Remember that I'm here with you. I am God with you. Through the word, you can rely on me. This word helps you to walk more closely with me. Remember, I am with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. We do not know when our last day is going to be. We don't know when the last day is going to be, but we know who's going to be there at our side when it comes. When it is your turn, when it's my turn to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what a comfort it is to be able to say with the psalmist, I will fear no evil, for you, Emmanuel, are with me. What comfort to know that he is closely acquainted with the valley of the shadow of death because he walked through it before us. What comfort to know that even though the shadows may threaten us, they cannot harm us. Because he paid for sin. He conquered death with his death. What comfort to know that our walk will end in heaven with us by his side, because of the love of the one who brought us there. And we can say to him, now I am always with you, Jesus. May God help us all to never lose sight of Jesus' wondrous love as our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to our Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate near the entryway of our sanctuary. We bring several prayers to our Father's throne, prayer requests for today. First of all, prayers of thanksgiving and joy for Wayne Bliss, who celebrated his birthday on Friday. We also give thanks and praise to the Lord for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. As we prayed a few weeks ago, she was undergoing a biopsy to check for cancer, and the results were very good. They revealed no cancer, so we praise the Lord for that. We also pray for Terry's friend, Ginny, who's recently placed in memory care and is doing pretty well transitioning, but it's kind of debatable whether she should have been placed into memory care. So we ask the Lord to help her in that situation and to help her to be a light to those around her despite that difficult situation. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank and praise you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you are with us today, and that by faith you dwell in us. We thank you, Jesus, for the gifts and blessings you give us as Emmanuel. We give you thanks and praise, dear Lord, for the years of life you've given to Wayne. We thank you for the celebration of the gift of physical life, but most importantly, we thank you for making him your child through faith and giving him rebirth and new life through the gospel. Please bless his days with good health and strength, and most importantly, Lord, strength and faith in you and a thankfulness for all your blessings. We praise and thank you that you blessed his daughter Michelle with a favorable biopsy and that it revealed no cancer. Please keep her in good health and strength all the rest of her days and help her to praise you and turn to you in every time of need as her Savior and Lord. Please be with Terry's friend, Ginny, who's recently been entrusted to memory care. Please bless her time there, that it would be truly what is best for her, if it's your will, and help her to continue to be a light to those who are in that facility, who are struggling with their memory issues, Lord. Help her to be a blessing to them in every way. Comfort her, especially when times are difficult or in times of fear and trouble. Help her to know that you are working all things out for good, even as you have promised. Dear Jesus, it is indeed holy ground upon which we in spirit stand to view your cross, for there you endured God's wrath and justice against all our sins by suffering and dying for us. We thank you that when you first appeared in this wicked world, you came not as a judge to condemn us, but as a Savior to save us. In our dying hour, nothing can comfort us but the blood you shed on our behalf. While we live, there is no treasure we can desire to equal the treasure of salvation you won for us and now offer to us in your word. Nothing we can achieve in this world can begin to compare with the redemption you accomplished for us on that cross. There are no earthly relationships which can mean as much to us as having you as our friend and Savior, our Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you, dear precious Redeemer. O Holy Spirit, light divine, enter our hearts with your blessings and dwell there. Take away any trust we may have in our own righteousness, and lead us always to make sincere confession of our sins and of our own unworthiness. Fill us with a steadfast faith, continually trusting all that Jesus has done for our salvation. And when he comes to judge the world, may he count us as God's children and heirs of eternal life. In this season of Lent, may our Savior and his sacrifice on the cross occupy our thoughts, so that through solemn meditation of our faith, we may be strengthened in our trust in him, and that we may acquire a new sense of devotion to our Christian duties. Help us to live Christ, to confess his holy name, to abide and dwell in his word, to follow wherever he leads, and to bear our crosses patiently. All of this we ask in his name as we pray together now the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue on the top of page 11. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to live by your word. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness. We pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You may be seated. We close our service today with the last hymn, I Lay My Sins on Jesus, and I invite you to stand for the last verse of that hymn.
I lay my sins on Jesus, the
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin, both for today and for this week. We will be having another work day, hopefully, if not the last, one of the last that we'll have with this project. A lot of work was done yesterday. The flooring was put in this week. In case you didn't notice when you walked in, the flooring looks a little different than last Sunday. It looks fantastic, and thank you for all the help that you've put in to the work so far. There still are many items that need to get put back into cabinets and cupboards, and chairs and tables need to be rearranged today. So if you're able to come after the service today to help, we invite you to do so. The Women's Auxiliary Meeting is actually just a day of work and service, so that's the Women's Auxiliary Meeting for today, is helping to put things back together. Part of the reason we are trying to fit it in today is because we have a very important science fair and open house this Thursday. There's an invitation and a little description from Michaela on page 14 in your bulletin. Please come and join us for that. We are really happy to have the open house this week, not just because of the students and all their science fair activities that they'll be displaying for us, but also that we get to show any visitors and our school families the new facility. Yes?
Also, if you happen to have a Facebook account, go ahead and go to our Facebook page for school and share the post about the upcoming school fair. You probably have multiple to choose from. We've posted about
Thank you for that reminder. And we've been sending out Facebook ads for this open house. We've actually gotten quite a few responses. Hopefully we'll see some visitors on Thursday. Tuesday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service in Oakmont at 2 p.m. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in March already, so we will be having our communion worship service next Sunday at 10 a.m. Bible class next Sunday will be at 9 a.m. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. Are there any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.